Movies and TV.
It's Taking It Down, and we are the Alabama Takes Pod. I swear we're not going to be this annoying, maybe, but well, honestly, no promises. We're the Alabama Takes Podcast for TV, movies, and music. We're here to give you straightforward, from the hip, down-to-earth analysis, and, you know, maybe just basic thoughts in some instances that lets you know if a show, movie, music's any good and why we think it. We just really talk about what we watched or like or have listened to. I'm the host of Taking It Down. I'm the editor-in-chief of said website. My avatar is Blaine Duncan. Don't forget that. Did you like that? Yeah. Don't forget that every episode features timestamps in the show notes. That's on the website and in your podcast app that will help you navigate all of our episodes. So if there's a segment you haven't watched or heard and you want to wait until later, that's what they're there to help you do. Subscribe to us so you'll see what's up with us. Follow us on social media. We are on all major social media under the Alabama Take. And you'll get announcements and things of that nature to help you know what's going on. The most recent thing over on the Alabama Take was this very heartwarming, moving piece from one of our head writers, Patrick Akers, on Easter Sunday. You're going to want to read that if you're a parent, and if you're not, go out there and make some babies. Go find someone to love.
Don't tell me what to do.
Well, you have someone to love. Let's get into it, people. You're starting to hear my friends who are always with me. This week, we're going to talk about the third episode of the Disney Plus / MCU series Moon Knight. We'll talk a little bit about the trailer for Stranger Things. We will talk a little bit about Outer Range. Not sure how deep we're going to get into that. That's the Amazon Prime show. That's what we're setting up. Check the timestamps. I don't think I listed them in the right order. You heard a little bit of them. Here are my co-hosts, my friends. First of all, we got Adam Morrow. He's fresh off a 300-mile run.
Great to be back. Indoors. Mm-mm. Just wonderful.
Do we usually podcast outdoors?
Well, you said I've been running for 300 miles. I'm just glad to be inside again, sitting down.
And I would run 300. Well, what is the longest you've ran from start to finish without like slowing down or walking?
Between 16 and 17 miles, I think.
That's pretty darn good.
Well, I want to say this. I have driven much farther than that.
I didn't say I felt good about it. I just said that I'd done it.
and of course, with us always, he is one of the head writers for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And the DC Cinematic Universe. He's Donovan Runwald. He's not any of those things.
Great to be here.
He's truly one of my best friends. I go to Donovan for advice. If you need advice, email thealabamatake @gmail. We'll get him that, and we'll get a response from Donovan. Love life, financial.
I will give you advice.
Sex issues. Nothing's off the table.
You got my taxes in, right? It's that time of the year.
Yes.
I send them all my financial information.
They have to be postmarked tomorrow. And let me tell you, friend, they will be postmarked tomorrow.
Beautiful.
Let's quickly get our listener of the week. Our listener for this week is none other than Kelly Duncan. Kelly Duncan, give it up for Kelly Duncan.
Nepotism.
Kelly Elizabeth Duncan the
well
third.
Well earned. Yeah.
Well earned. She listens to us probably none, but she'll listen to this episode. Lovely woman that Kelly. Much like me, she's been dropping the COVID pounds. I think she's lost like 25 pounds.
Daggum.
And wait, you've been losing COVID weight too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I put on a lot of COVID weight, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I got back into running because the gyms and stuff were opening. So,
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've dropped 20.
I have been watching football.
No,
and that's taking the pounds back on.
We've got to get you a listener of the week trophy.
Let's dissect this. Are we talking? Is this the English playing soccer, or did you watch the opening weekend of the USFL?
Please say it's Birmingham Stallions, baby.
Wouldn't it be nice if I was talking about the English?
I know you're not.
I cheered on the. Daddy's got to make some money.
I knew that was coming. You beat me to the punch. How much money did you lay on the Birmingham Stallions? No, you don't have to divulge here. You don't have to.
Okay. I mean, it was pretty much all of it.
Okay.
And they won, so I'm fine.
All of it, he said. How much money did you put on? All of it.
$12.
I love that response. Yeah, for me, it would be about 100. How much you got in the bank?
Donovan, did you watch it?
Yeah, it's on in my house right now.
Did you enjoy it?
You know, the first game, it was like, I said out loud, oh shit, is this going to be like Big 12 football? Because they're just scoring back and forth. But, you know, it was an exciting game. The second game up has not been quite as exciting. Kevin Sumlin's Houston Gamblers have been pretty much stomping all over the Michigan Panthers.
Who coaches the Panthers, the Michigan Panthers?
Oh, how should I know?
Urban Meyer.
Well, you got some money flying around on it. You should know.
I only bet on the Stallions.
Oh, okay. I don't know if...
Donovan doesn't keep up with the stats. This is total gut, man. You gotta yes. Run with your gut.
They got Shea Patterson paying for the Panthers, and that's all I
really?
Know about them.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But I've got to really tune in. I didn't last night, and I kind of regret it. But the tickets are $10 a pop. Kids get in free.
I love
How
this.
Are we not there now or at a game now?
Well, it was raining. Is it raining where y'all are?
It's been a rainy weekend, yeah.
Yeah, touch and go.
It was in a weather delay earlier.
Ah, I see.
I'm trying to talk Adam and our buddy Jeff, one former listener of the week, Jeff, to get to a Birmingham Stallions game for $10.
I've been trying to get you to get to a Trash Pandas game. We can meet in Huntsville.
You know how I feel about baseball.
When you're watching it live, it's different.
It's just it's a lot of downtime for me.
It is.
That's when you talk with your good friend that's come with you to a Trash Pandas game.
Is that when you blow that joint?
Yeah.
Fire that up.
Or drink a fourth beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
The USFL thing, the broadcast, Donovan, I didn't watch it for very long, but I tuned in and they had the camera just in the New Jersey quarterback's face while he was on the bench. And they were like even, I think, interviewing him. Is this like, was this normal to the broadcast? Just an incredibly intrusive television coverage?
They had something like 38 mics out there. Like, I forget what the real number was. It was really something like 38 mics. So the first broadcast, they had like, it was actually pretty annoying, right? Because they had like the coaches mic'd up the whole time. So while the commentators are going and the game noise is going, you can also hear the coach like, we got to figure out why they lined up that way.
It wasn't actually interesting.
It wasn't anything useful or good. The second one, the second one that I watched, it seemed like they dialed that down a lot more.
Okay.
They weren't in the, because they had like the replay booth mic'd up and they had all kinds of nonsense.
What do you think they tell these guys who are maybe thought that their football careers were over a few months ago and now they find themselves on, I mean, opening night was on NBC and Fox, right? Like what?
Yeah, what's really going on?
So you go from like semi-professional, like probably, you know, the classic, like, oh, I was working at a shoe store and now I'm on national television. How do they keep these guys from just obscenity-laced tirades for 3 hours?
I mean, they were bleeping a little bit out.
They're not getting paid that much.
They're only getting paid, I think it's $45,000.
Wow.
For however long the season is.
Which is a decent chunk of change for anything that doesn't involve like the risk of long-term brain injuries.
Yeah,
tough. I hope they insure them as well.
Yeah, well, we took all the fun out of that.
Yeah, as we are prone to do. I did find that interesting on how it was broadcasting simultaneously on Fox and NBC. It was
more annoying than anything else because the announcers had to schmaltz it up with like, oh, this is the first time since Super Bowl I that this has happened, and hey, there's the first touchdown for the USFL, and that's the first touchdown pass, and this is, you know, everything's a first. And it's like, I'm already watching the game, guys.
Did they let Joe Biden throw the first pass in pads and behind the line? And
they wheeled him out in his in his presidential motorcade, and by that I mean wheelchair. He kind of flailed around a little bit, but in the end,
all right. Well, good for him.
I bet Joe could throw a tight spiral back in the day.
I bet he could too.
You know what? I still wouldn't want to like arm wrestle him.
No.
Hey, the dude rides a lot of bikes. He's on the bike often.
He's fitter than I am. He's losing those COVID pounds too.
I don't know if he ever gained any. Good old Joe. Guys, Better Call Saul starts its final season this week, and I'm not sure what I have to do to twist your arms, your collective arms.
I've seen the first season of it and thought it was great. And then my wife said, well, wait to watch it with me. And we just somehow never got around to watching it. So maybe we'll watch it now that it's all over.
It hit a tipping point for me where I thought, I'm not going to catch up in time. I'm going to let everything be available, which is very lazy.
Yeah.
I remember chastising a lot of people for doing that with Mad Men and Breaking Bad when they were on their original runs. In fact, I remember Jeff. Mm-hmm. You remember Jeff heroically racing to catch up on Breaking Bad. I mean, he finished it like an hour before the last season started so he could watch the last season live, which I, I admire that dedication.
Well, Better Call Saul is breaking its final season in two parts, but I do think they're both airing this year.
Maybe I'll catch up by the finale.
You might have time.
Yeah. Now, are you one of those folks that's like, it's better than Breaking Bad, or are you just like, it's a different show?
No, it's better.
It's better. Wow. Yeah. That's high praise.
Yeah, I've said so on this podcast before. In fact, I think I've said it too much. That's why I wasn't going to bring it up. But since you asked, yeah, it's better. It's just a deeper character study.
Okay.
But still has a lot of the action and tense moments and then dramatic buildup. It's just better.
Is there going to be anything like it on TV once it ends its final season? Or is this kind of the end of an era, so to speak?
I think it'll be often duplicated, but never done as well.
Sure.
It's good. Unless they just decide to do another show, the guys, Gilgan and Golden.
He might be ready to do something new at this point, huh?
Well, he's slowly backpedaled out of it. He has less hands-on, I think.
Okay.
And this is Gilligan, and he
because he turned it over to Gold to start, right?
Yeah, and I think he still has that credit, but I think that it's mainly Gold who's doing it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll talk briefly about the new Amazon Prime show starring Josh Brolin as a Wyoming rancher. It's called Outer Range. Other than what I just said, that's kind of all I knew coming in. Well, I did know that there was something weird. Okay, so that's really all I knew. And Donovan let me know it had gotten mixed reviews, but...
Yeah, reviews were... On an initial Google search, reviews were very mixed. Everywhere from, like, this is totally worth your time, and this is a weird SF Western, to... the weirdness doesn't go anywhere. It's like Lost.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. I didn't read... I don't think I read any reviews. Maybe a headline. But I'm not sure who may have seen images from this show and just thought, oh, it's going to be kind of like Yellowstone. But man, if you did and you happened to watch an episode or two, I want to hear from you. Please email me, message me. If you thought, oh, it's going to be kind of like Yellowstone, but with Josh Brolin, I'll watch it. It's in Wyoming. Please email me.
Please slide right into those DMs.
Please. You're gonna crack me up a little, I'm sure. So the setting is just, like I mentioned, in Wyoming. I'm assuming it's shot there. It would have to be somewhere in the Rockies just from the setting. It's fantastic. I love it when shows can be set somewhere other than a studio or green screen or building even. It's very much what you would expect from a beautiful Wyoming or Rocky Mountain landscape. I didn't do my homework on checking if it was in Wyoming. My cohorts here have not watched it. So what I'm going to do is, there are no spoilers to worry about. I won't spoil a thing. It's a show that can be spoiled. And I'll keep everything vague. Just give you a good review on it. I've watched both episodes, and I think it will start airing weekly episodes on Amazon Prime every Friday. It does do what's becoming a slightly annoying thing, where it starts in media res. Writers and directors think they have to do this with television shows to be captivating, but it also starts with a voiceover, and I think the voiceover alone would have been just fine. That's a small complaint. There are plenty of conflicts and mystery. I mean, plenty. It's every other scene is a conflict or a mystery to make it gripping. And the first episode is just very well done. It looks great. It was very well paced. It has wonderful cinematography, and it does this thing where it characterizes efficiently, like just in a passing line, you know, oh, okay, so this has happened to this lady or this guy there and Josh Brolin's family. Great first episode, I thought. It does a surprise ending. I'll leave it at that. Another show using another Bob Dylan song, a prominent moment. And second episode was even better. It started opening up its themes. I think there are enough smartly placed variables in this show to either... That's going to keep me plugged in, but I do see that those smartly placed variables could jump off a cliff easily, too. So I'm very interested in this show. It could come apart, but right now all my chips are in on this one.
I feel like the trailer that I watched gave me a fair amount of information about what's going on, about somebody turning up to the property and some real cosmic, I've seen that sign all my life kind of things, and then a hole opening up in the ground, and I definitely got the impression that it was not Yellowstone from the get-go, that this was just kind of the setting for some real weird stuff.
Now, I'll take the opposite approach. I don't pay very much attention to things, so I assumed it was Yellowstone, which, and my understanding is that Yellowstone is just Law and Order in the Old West.
Yeah, you got me. I've never watched an episode. I've heard great things, but I heard it's very addictive. It's written by the guy Taylor. I forget his last name. He wrote From Hell to High Water, that movie.
Mm. Yeah,
which I liked. And
that
he
was
wrote
a good movie.
I think he wrote Sicario as well.
I believe he did.
Anyway, he wrote all of first season Yellowstone, maybe more. I would watch it. I just don't. It's one of those that's been backlogged long enough where I'm like, well, I'm not going to catch up. I don't know when I'll watch it. Speaking of weird things happening in normal places, Stranger Things 4 released a trailer this week. Are you guys like me and you've just forgotten everything that's happened?
Yes.
Yeah.
Except that I did remember, this is a place where we assume people have watched season 3, right?
Let's do that, yeah.
Okay, I did remember that David, is it David Harbour? Is that
David
his name?
Harbour.
I did assume that his character, I did remember that his character was supposedly dead, which made me think, however, before I even saw the trailer, like, however they're going to get him back into the fold is probably going to annoy me.
Well, no, he's supposedly dead, but we also see him in what looks to be Russia.
Well, we know, yeah. Like, right. Before I even watched the trailer, I made the assumption that he was not actually dead, because he's one of their more, I don't know, bankable stars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks like he's supposed to be in Russia.
Talk about the Russia thing feeling a bit outdated, a bit of a throwback when this show started, and now, not so, raging back into the cultural conversation. Good for them.
I remember the Stranger Things 2 and 3 trailers really getting me pumped, and this one not. It's like I've moved on from the show, maybe.
Do you think it's because you've seen it all before? You've kind of seen their bag of tricks?
It could be, but I think it has a lot more to do with time.
Mm-hmm.
Time and having a lot crammed in between those 3 years. You know, our show, Taking It Down, started with Stranger Things 3, and that's been 3 years ago this July.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about talking about that with you and how much time it feels like has passed. I thought the first season, it's like when bands talk about the second record is the hardest to make. Like, you've had your entire life to come up with season one of a show, or you don't really have to meet expectations or any of those things. It just blew people away, and the kids were so charming and blah, blah, blah. And like, figuring out how to balance. There's just a lot that can go wrong or can go stale.
Anything from the trailer specifically?
No, I'm just thinking about generally, like, why I wasn't... When the trailers came out for season 2 and season 3, they were kind of like, you couldn't wade through Twitter without seeing the retweets and the opinions and the blah, blah, blah. And it just hasn't had the same impact this time, it feels like. Mm-hmm. Which is, we shouldn't judge what the show becomes on that, of course, but you know, now like some of the kids are actual stars that are in other things, and there's more of a story, so there is inherently less mystery to unravel, and it's just kind of, I don't know, some of that power is maybe gone a little bit.
Yeah, season 4 I feel like season four of any show is kind of a weird space to be, because you're in the middle of, I'm thinking of like season four of Breaking Bad or Mad Men or any other shows that we've mentioned, you know, kind of you've gone far enough from your initial premise that if there's nothing else there, your show has kind of fallen apart.
Right. And the two shows that you mentioned had very clear beginning, middles, and ends. Like Breaking Bad, he didn't want it to be an episode longer than it was. Right? Like everything. It's Absolutely. Like a short story. Like every word matters. Every episode matters. And I haven't read enough about the Stranger Things background. But I mean, of course, every show is dealing with, will I get another season? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you kind of get the feeling that they have to invent it all again every season, right? Instead of having like an overarching theme, that they're kind of trying to create one, whereas Mad Men and Breaking Bad and these great shows had very much a, even though it can feel like they're kind of floundering in Mad Men at times or just doing character studies for the sake of treading water, they're not really. The story's being advanced in some way. And Breaking Bad certainly was being advanced the whole time.
Yeah, it felt like, I like what you said about kind of reinventing it all over again, because it's like for season three it was like, what are we going to do now? Well, let's have the Russians and Hawkins, why not? Like, does it make any sense? Not necessarily. Was it hinted at? Not at all.
Only with the general mood of like 80s references that we know, you know what I mean? You have to like look outside the show to kind of expect that turn.
Exactly. It's just kind of like you said, it's them doing their same 80s thing over and over again. But we'll see. Every new season begins, you know? Hope springs anew with every new season.
I'll give it a whirl. Totally.
Same.
And this is supposedly their last season, and they're splitting it into, you know, Netflix will not release weekly. That's not their thing. But they are going to split Stranger Things 4 up and drop some in late May and then another in, like, June.
Perfect summer viewing.
That's what I was thinking, too.
It does work that for that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to build up a little excitement, I think. And that's, how much is that on them? I don't know.
I wonder if, when all of the streaming services first were getting established, there was really only the Netflix method of, here's everything all at once. And now Disney and Apple have taken the opposite tact with it. And it's worked so well that I almost wonder, you start to wonder if Netflix has second thoughts about the model that they chose. You know what I mean? Because we have been, we have shown as a TV watching culture that like we'll watch Ted Lasso every week. We'll watch Severance every week. We'll watch whatever, Mandalorian. And that sustains excitement versus this kind of, it almost feels outdated. Like here's a dump of like an entire season.
It's just going to blur together. You're going to forget about it.
But it's also the strength.
Instead of talking.
Yeah. It's the strength of that show in particular that it was one of the most bingeable experiences of streaming that I've had of like those first couple of seasons. Like next episode, next episode, next episode. I mean, it's built for that medium, I guess.
Yeah. And I guess it goes into thinking about how the show is constructed, right? If you're constructing it for binging all at once, or if you're thinking more week by week, you know, that the binge all at once structure isn't necessarily going to fit the week by week structure, and vice versa. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with them splitting it up into two, to see if it, because it's a little bit of, it's not really, but it's a little bit of having your cake and eating it too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're married to the idea now that they dump all of their episodes at once. I don't think they're going to, it almost feels like they would have to walk it back.
Yeah, I don't think they will, but it's just interesting how it's played out, because it seemed like six of one, half dozen of the other, but I kind of wonder if more, you know, quote-unquote prestige stuff will gravitate towards places that release weekly.
Because Netflix is the only one that doesn't do it now. I talked about Outer Range. They did two episodes, but I think they're going to do one a week from then on. That's on Amazon Prime. And Hulu does two or three episodes to begin and then one. I think that's an okay model.
Yeah.
To do two or three and then give you one a week.
Interesting. I kind of like the two or three to start, because it gives you a sense of the what the show is,
mm-hmm.
and then you get the week by week after that.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure that HBO Max hasn't done that with their
yeah.
originals, their only HBO Max shows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, man, do I have a segue from this bit of conversation to our next segment after the break. Have either of you seen the Tide commercial? And I'm putting commercial in quotation marks, starring David Barber.
I don't think so.
I've seen an old one with him.
No, this is new.
No.
He's doing a Tide bit, and then one of those Doctor Strange portals opens in the back, and a hand comes through and grabs, like, the Tide, and then it closes, and he turns around, and he notices it missing and turns back to the camera and says, "Strange."
Interesting.
Now, isn't that the weirdest thing? Because he has not reportedly in the Doctor Strange movie.
I love this. I haven't seen this commercial, though.
Could it be just alluding to, like, well, you know about Stranger Things, and you know about Doctor Strange, and we couldn't get the guy from Doctor Strange, but we got the guy from Stranger Things, so here you go.
I have no idea. Let's take a break and talk MCU stuff, specifically Moon Knight, but also the Doctor Strange commercials that have been out recently. We'll do that on the other side of this break. Yeah, there's plenty to see on thealabamatake.com, including head writers T.D. Wood and Patrick Akers getting you plenty of entertaining and thoughtful essays every week. If you're looking for witty and humorous book reviews, our staff writer Laura has you covered there. Coming soon, the return of This Song Sucks for its third season. We've been pumping that up. Keep your eye out. Go ahead and subscribe to This Song Sucks so you will get it in your podcast feed. All of it's on the site, so follow thealabamatake.com on any social media account so you don't miss anything. Well, it's been a minute. We're going to bring in Natalie. We haven't had Natalie on the show for a while, but we're going to talk MCU stuff for this second half, so who better to sit in the third chair for this? Can I get a gauge on your excitement, both of you, on Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness?
You know, I started out lower, but now I'm pretty excited, and I think part of that has to do with Sam Raimi being involved.
Right.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one. I think that's, of all the things that are coming up, or that have been coming up over the last, I don't know, year and a half, that's the one that's really stuck out to me is, we're bringing in, Wanda's coming back, I mean, this whole, just very excited.
Supposedly as close to horror as we've seen with the MCU.
But didn't they say that about whatever, Moon Knight? Didn't that what?
I just think they sold it in interviews as it being more violent.
I'm interested because they got the first director they got for Doctor Strange was, I can't think of his name now, but he was a horror veteran. And I thought he did a pretty decent job with that for the initial Doctor Strange movies. And so to see what Sam Raimi, who is a horror beyond horror veteran and has made two pretty decent superhero movies to boot. You know, that should be fun, and it looks like it's got the visual, you know, the visual inventiveness, which I think is what I always think of when I think of with Sam Raimi, just like what's the cool thing that he's gonna go for, and Doctor Strange looks like it's gonna give him the opportunity to do, you know, cool special effects and stuff like that.
Sorry, my question about the... So there's the rumor that they're going to start introducing the X-Men, potentially, with this movie, right?
Heavily rumored.
So how does all of the, multi-casting play into bringing in all these extra universes?
Are you asking, is it going to be too stuffed? Is it too much?
No, I'm saying, what do we do about the actors who have played multiple roles that it hasn't mattered yet? But, I mean, Oscar Isaac was in X-Men Apocalypse, now he's Marvel's Moon Knight. And there are a list of other actors that applies to. What do we do? Do we care?
Yeah, I bet it just doesn't matter much. That's my guess. If I'm Kevin Feige, in that instance, with the Oscar Isaac, you just don't let it count. In other cases, I don't know, though.
But it is counted with... all the Spider-Men.
That is true. It's kind of mind-blowing. I don't know.
And I guess it's sort of counted in WandaVision, too.
Yeah.
How so?
You know, they switch casting.
With the brother.
For Quicksilver.
Oh, yes. I did forget about that. You know, my concern is that this movie just is another one that's going to be really packed to the point that we're going to get burned out on that kind of thing. They did it with The Last Spider-Man, obviously. And how much of that can you get away with before, you know, you just pump too much adrenaline in the body?
Sure.
And I know they're not going to do Avengers movies anymore, probably. So what? Is that the only answer?
I was just about to ask if we thought that this was because we're not getting Avengers movies anymore. So they've just got to... But we've kind of really come to expect the shared universe.
Mm-hmm.
So is this what we get now?
I think so. I think it is, but if anyone knows what they're doing, it's them, and I would just be careful with it. Which brings us to Moon Knight, though, who I think one of the showrunners for Moon Knight talks about how there will not be a second season of it, or I think they put Moon Knight on a list of limited series for certain award shows. They put it on limited series, so that kind of ties it down to one season. Not that that's been broken before, but anyway, the showrunner did say that there is a lot of hope that Moon Knight shows up in bigger MCU projects. That's a very interesting concept to me, because what do you do with him and those multiple characters he's gotten in his own head, and then he talks to 3 or 4 former Avengers and stuff? You know, that's a lot to balance in a couple of scenes.
And right now he's pretty much kind of, I guess probably this is a function of what you just said, which it's a lot to balance if you would put, but he's kind of isolated in his own corner of the MCU right now. And it would be interesting to see how they would incorporate him into the big larger universe, where they think he would fit.
Yeah, that's why I'm so fascinated. How do they squeeze him in? Because he's one of the more interesting characters. So I'm really kind of excited to see him later, as well as this show.
I mean, I think they could make it work if they wanted it to work, but I don't know that it needs to happen. I mean, we had the mention of Madripoor this week. So, I mean, they're at least acknowledging that it is a part of this wider thing, but I am interested in watching Oscar Isaac, period. otherwise, I don't think I think that this one works well being on its own and just letting it happen, and there doesn't need to be the tie-ins that the other ones have had.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, this season, for sure. What about when it's over?
I mean, even still, like, let's just let it be over.
Let's get into episode 3 specifically. I don't know that I found this one as engaging. I had trouble pinpointing exactly why. You know, Mark's got a singular mission here, which is to find the tomb or the burial of Ahmet before Ethan Hawke's character Arthur does. But it just had too many curves, I guess, to get there.
I was wondering if I also found it not as compelling. And part of me wondered if it was because it was more of like a straight action episode, whereas I think the first two were a little twistier about their action. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just that CGI Khonshu doesn't look good in full sunlight. He just doesn't look great.
Yeah, I think that this episode, you know, the first two, you're still kind of working through the mystery of the Steven Mark, what's happening. This one felt a little bit, not only are they trying to introduce more information, more characters, but they're also sort of hinting at the third personality. It was like all of those things, if they were two of the three things going, or multiple things going on. And then they were a lot, it was too much happening, all of which I wanted more information about, but it was too much for the 45 minutes, hour, however long the episode was.
Yeah. The episode did give a hint of that Jake Lockley, another personality in Mark, when Mark came out of it and thought Steven had hurt the kids in Cairo. There's also a throwaway line from the first episode where the museum security guard calls him Scotty.
Yeah.
Which doesn't seem by accident anymore. It wasn't just like, I don't know you kind of thing. Is there more than three
Yeah, I thought about that today, or I guess not today, I guess that was yesterday when we watched it, thinking back to the first episode when he misses the date with the girl from the museum. It doesn't seem like a thing Mark would have done. Steven definitely had no idea. So is it Scotty who's asking people out to the steak restaurant?
That's a good question, because we know Mark's married.
Right.
So why the heck, and he seems, we have no inkling that he's anything less than committed to lying to his wife and trying to wriggle out from his obligations there.
Not to hop around too much, you talked about Khonshu not looking so good in the daylight. I do think Moon Knight may have the best suit of all the MCU. When that full CGI suit is on,
I think it's terrible.
You do, really?
I hate it. I think Mr. Knight's suit is better than Moon Knight's suit.
I like Mr. Knight's suit.
The pointy hood thing, it just looks like a really bad, like I went to Spirits and got this for Halloween, and it doesn't quite fit right. I don't like it.
I do think that there's something up with the CGI where it looks a little wonky. I don't hate it.
Huh.
But I think that I agree with Natalie that Mr. Knight looks a little bit more natural, where there's something a little uncanny valley about this straight-up Moon Knight costume.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oscar Isaac putting some acting on display in that pyramid scene with the other gods, where he has to let Khonshu speak through him, and it's almost like choking him or making him gag. That was pretty... And this show had some funny moments again this week, including that.
Yeah, there was one just like one offline when he's running across the rooftops. What did he say? I don't remember. Oh, something about are we fighting or are we dancing?
Something we dancing? Like that. We fighting?
That one was really good. But yeah, the pyramid scene in the pyramid with all the other avatars or whatever we're calling them. I wonder, because it's a really impressive set, and they could do some really cool stuff with that. I hope all that comes back later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just like a throwaway.
That would not be surprising. And there's apparently a couple other gods in Egyptian lore that weren't in the scene that could also factor in later if they so desired.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of... go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, was it just me or were they terrible? Is Khonshu terrible at his job? Because he's like the case against... Ethan Hawke's character,
Arthur,
has to be open and so open and shut that there's nothing they can't possibly. And then he comes in and he's like, "Oh, is there a law against being in the desert?" And that's basically his defense, which works. I mean, Khonshu has nothing against it.
Don't hire Khonshu as a lawyer at all.
He was terrible.
Did Arthur Harrow allude to Mark having killed Layla's father?
That's what it sounded like.
It kind of did, didn't it? That was a hard scene to read because of so much, like you guys had mentioned just a few minutes earlier, so much had happened. And a couple of those lines can fly right by you.
We know Mark did something. I'm getting mixed up and it's only been 3 episodes, but we know Mark or some personality did something because Steven learns about it.
That's right.
And it seems like, whether that's connected or not, that he did something at an archaeological site somewhere, and it was probably not very pleasant.
The show also made it a point to open with a lot of conversation between Layla and her friend, whoever that was, about her dad. The whole conversation was about her dad. It's like they wanted that to be in our heads as viewers.
Oh, well, that didn't work because I totally forgot about that scene.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, no, I didn't. It's tough. It's tough to do. And we talked about the internet's pretty excited that the guard asked Layla about Madripoor, big in the X-Men universe, but we did see it in the Falcon and Winter Soldier, so that's I think that's the only nod to a bigger MCU, and that's fine. I'm with Natalie in that. I think that's fine for this, but...
The blip didn't happen in Cairo. It just didn't, or whatever they call it.
Yeah, that is what they call it, right?
Do they call it the blip? Okay, I'd said it and then it didn't sound right. The blip didn't happen in Cairo.
It didn't sound right because it's a really bad name for an event.
Yeah. The snap.
The snap. Yeah.
Way better. It's better.
But although I want this season to be very self-contained, I can't see it in my head, Oscar Isaac having all those personalities and interacting with Doctor Strange and Thor and, you know, list a few more. Like, if they're battling somebody that needs to go down, is he going to show up because Khonshu tells him to? You know, some of this stuff, how does it wrap or fold into another project?
I think that it folds into Loki and only Loki. Only because I think it would be really funny to watch Loki figure out what's happening, take advantage of it. And plus, we're not even totally sure that Moon Knight is like a good guy yet. Like,
right.
who is the villain here? So I think that would be fun to watch, but everything else, not interested.
Huh. Yeah, seeing Tom Hiddleston and Oscar Isaac, I don't know if they've done anything. But yeah, sign me up.
I'd watch it.
Sure.
Yeah, nothing immediately jumps to mind. So are you listening, Marvel?
They usually do.
We're blazing new trails for you here.
Any more thoughts on Moon Knight or the third episode in particular?
Boy, he sure got impaled a lot.
He did. Is he okay? Yeah. He's okay. The suit helps, right, apparently?
The suit is, Khonshu mentions it's a healing suit, I think.
Yeah, he does.
So hopefully he's fine. Well, he seemed okay after it. That was actually my favorite moment when Mr. Knight is there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to get everyone to stop, and he gets run through with the spear, and he says, take the body. And then Mark takes back over.
Oscar Isaac as Stephen is pretty good. It's really, I hope that personality doesn't, like, disappear. And we do, the show kind of wants us to think that Stephen and Layla are the better love interests.
I didn't get that. I think that was more of just, I think they're, I'm going to end it. I disagree.
You know, I hadn't considered that, but now that I'm thinking about it, I kind of see it. You know, they're both into ancient Egyptian stuff. Stephen is a kind, sensitive person, right? He's not whatever Mark is.
He hasn't really.
But we don't know what Mark is. We know nothing mm-hmm. about Mark as a person.
All we know is that he's not good at talking.
Which there's
he's good at
wrong
pushing
with that.
His feelings down. He's good at pushing his feelings away.
Yeah, it'd be a weird love triangle.
Would it though?
Maybe not. I mean,
it'd be weird, but I don't know that it's a love triangle.
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah. Maybe it would be
It's a love squiggly line.
Yeah, maybe it's not so weird love triangle because it's the same body, at least. I'm in love with the same guy. He's just got a different personality.
Or I'm in love with a bunch of different guys. They just have the same body.
Yeah, for real. That's it. That's what I was trying to say. All right, that's it for our Taking It Down episode. We'll be back next week. I think we've got a pretty clear itinerary. We're going to share your thoughts on The Batman because that's going to be on HBO Max, and hopefully everybody, all our listeners, can watch it if they haven't already. And we're going to talk The Northmen, which is in theaters next week. We're going to get to that one. I do believe that's the case. Stick with us on social media. We're under the Alabama Take umbrella. That'll help you see if our itinerary, if our agenda stays the same next week. Talk to everybody later.